Hello, friends, and welcome to the Shellac Stack. We start today's program with a song by John Layton and Henry Creamer, first published in 1922. The composers advertised it as a Southern song without a mammy, a mule, or a moon. It's called Way Down Yonder in New Orleans.
Do you dig that clack, clack, clacking?
Do you get them flute-like tones?
You can bet your bottom dollar, man, you're hearing Brother Bone.
That song was already nearly a quarter century old when Brother Bones recorded it for the Tempo label in 1948. That's Tempo record number 696. The song written by the team of Layton and Creamer, that's Way Down Yonder in New Orleans. And if Brother Bones and his Shadows sound vaguely familiar to you, they were probably best known for their recording of Sweet Georgia Brown, which was picked up and used for many years as the theme of the Harlem Globetrotters. Maybe it still is. Well, welcome to the program. My name is Brian Wright, and I play, on this show, old 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. I've got a basement full of these things, and I figured I need to do something with them. So, here we are. I hope you'll enjoy listening to them as much as I do, and I've got another pretty good playlist, I think, featuring some jazz records, some boogie-woogie piano, some interesting vocalists along the way. So, strap in, and here we go. We're going to start properly now with Adrian Rollini and his orchestra. This is a Decca record made in New York City on March 17th, 1936. Adrian Rollini gets composer credit on it. It's got the interesting title of Stuff, Etc., which I guess is about what we're going to be hearing on today's program. Here we go, Adrian Rollini and his orchestra. Thank you. Isn't that a fun record? Wow, I love that. The Top Hatters Trio and something called Wahoo, written by Cliff Friend and recorded February 10th, 1936, Decca record number 711, which seems to be the only record by the Top Hatters Trio. I did a cursory search and could find no indication that they recorded anything else except for that one record and the title on the other side. Before that, we heard Adrian Rollini and his orchestra, Decca record number 807, recorded just about a month later, March 17th, 1936, Stuff Etc. That's the name of the tune. My name is Brian Wright. You're listening to the Shellac Stack. Thanks so much for taking a moment to log on and tune in and listen along to these 78s with me. We're going to continue with a couple of boogie-woogie piano records now. First up, it's Jimmy Yancey, a guy who has a rather mysterious career. He was born sometime around the turn of the century. It's not known exactly when, but sometime between 1894 and 1901. As a child, he toured across the United States as a tap dancer and reportedly went to Europe and toured there as well. He started playing for rent parties as a pianist in the 1920s, on into the 1930s, but didn't make his first recordings until 1939. And we're going to hear a fairly early recording of his from February 23rd, 1940, something he made in Chicago called The Bear Trap Blues, issued on a Columbia record. Jimmy Yancey went on to play at Carnegie Hall by the end of the decade, but unfortunately died of a diabetes-induced stroke in 1951 when he was only in his 50s. After Jimmy Yancey, we'll hear a student of his, or rather a protege, or just a guy influenced by him, Mede Lux Lewis, on a recording he made for the Ash Records label owned by Moses Ash, who later went on to found the Folkways label. We'll hear Yancey's Pride, which I can only assume was named after Jimmy Yancey. Recorded in about 1944, it's Ash record number 352. So a couple of boogie-woogie records now, starting out with Jimmy Yancey. Here's the Bear Trap Blues. Thank you. I'm not always in the mood for boogie-woogie piano, but when I am, it's hard to do much better than Jimmy Yancey and Mead Lux Lewis, the two gentlemen we heard there. First, Jimmy Yancey playing his Bear Trap Blues, recorded in Chicago in February of 1940 for the Columbia label, and then Mead Lux Lewis with Yancey's Pride, recorded for the Ash label in about 1944. Up next, I thought we would turn to a pair of rhythm records. First, a selection called Low Down Rhythm, played by Lloyd Keating and his music. Lloyd Keating, I don't think really existed in this case. It was a pseudonym for Phil Spitalny, the same guy who, years later, conducted an all-girl orchestra that became quite popular. But back in the 20s and early 30s, Phil Spitalny led a fairly conventional, pretty hot dance band, as you'll hear here. Velvetone record number 2052, recorded in November of 1929. And an interesting feature here is the vocalist, Sammy Fain, who was billed often as the crooning composer, because he did compose quite a number of pop tunes of the day, things like Let a Smile Be Your Umbrella, You Brought a New Kind of Love to Me, and a couple years later he wrote I'll Be Seeing You. After that, we'll hear Joe Hames and his orchestra, and this comes from a fairly interesting record. It's on the American Record Corporation label, but this is one of the discs they issued for theater use. They put the same tune on both sides and marketed these to movie theaters to play as either intermission music or entrance and exit music while people were coming and going from the theater. This is record number F456, and the tune is Christopher Columbus, subtitled A Rhythm Cocktail. Joe Hames and his orchestra will play it, recorded March 11th, 1936. So, we'll start out with Phil Spitalny under the name of Lloyd Keating. Here's Low Down Rhythm.
Just a step to paradise. To crash the gate, heavenly gate, sing hallelujah, go dancing through. Saint Peter, the chief reader, will yell his welcome to you. Better take up low down rhythm. Take it up to the stars. Thank you.
Such a simple melody, but so effective. I remember first hearing Christopher Columbus, played by Benny Goodman's orchestra, on a recording from the late 1930s, and just finding it absolutely fascinating and looking for additional performances, and I came across this one, Joe Hames and his orchestra, on a theater use record from the American Record Corporation. That was Christopher Columbus, A Rhythm Cocktail, from March of 1936. Before that, we heard Phil Spitalny, masquerading as Lloyd Keating, and his music on a Velvet Tone record from November 8th, 1929, Low Down Rhythm. Pretty hot stuff, huh? And Sammy Fain singing the vocal. Nice bonus there. I got an email this past week from Gabe in Chicago, and Gabe wrote to me. He said, "Well, I wanted to drop you a line and thank you for putting together this wonderful podcast. I live in Chicago and just recently caught the 78 bug when I dropped into the California Clipper, and there was a DJ spinning only 78s. I scoured a couple record stores this week and have started my collection. Do you have any advice on how to proceed with collecting 78s? Do you have any advice on basic gear to get so that I can listen to them at home? Are there any resources you would recommend that would shed light on these nuts and bolts?" Well, thank you, Gabe, for the email, and I was going to reply by email, but I thought there might be a few other people who might be interested in what little I have to say on the subject. My main advice, if you're starting out collecting 78s, is to start categorizing and organizing and cataloging your collection early. Don't wait until it gets too big. When I started out, I had about 100 records given to me by a next-door neighbor when I was a kid, and those 100 records fit neatly into one box, and I knew what was there. I went through it a few times, and I memorized all the records and pretty much had an idea of what order they were in the box, so finding a particular record was no trouble. But over the years, that collection expanded to 1,000 and 10,000, and I won't say where it is now, but if I didn't have some sort of database to keep track of these records, I would be absolutely, absolutely lost. And I do know of some collectors out there with basements full of 78s, but no real organizational scheme. They just kind of pull things out at random, and I would not advise that. For one thing, you might end up wasting space storing lots of duplicates. For another thing, it's just nice to know what you got. So I would say start out now cataloging in a spreadsheet the records that you have. A second bit of advice I would offer would be to get yourself a turntable with a lightweight pickup, meaning a modern turntable capable of playing 78s, and not one of those Crosley things that you can buy at Target or elsewhere with the ceramic cartridges. It's worth investing, I think, a little extra money to get one of the nicer turntables from Audio Technica. They cost about $200 to $300, and fitted with the right stylus and cartridge combination, you can get really good sound out of the 78s. Personally, I use a pair of Techniques turntables that I bought before these things went out of production, and I had Kevin Barrett over at KAB in New Jersey modify them to play 78 RPM, but a lot of those Audio Technica turntables now come standard with 78 already installed, so you don't have to worry about that. And you can get cartridges that play 78s for as little as $50 or $60 for the Shure cartridge. I'm still using a handful of Stanton 500 cartridges in Styli that I picked up some years ago, but those things are out of production now, so I wouldn't advise going that route. I think Shure is the way to go for people just getting into this now. So if you have any questions or any comments or just want to talk 78s, feel free to send me an email. My address is shellacstack@gmail.com. And to Gabe, welcome to the rather crazy world of collecting 78s. I hope you find some things you like, and I wish you a lot of success record hunting and enjoying these things. It is a fun hobby, something that I've enjoyed for many, many years. And it's a nice window into the past, not only musically, but also socially, historically, just a way of learning about the world. And I hope I can convey a little bit of that on each Shellac Stack program. Well, enough talk. Let's listen to some of these sounds with this next record, featuring Joe Turner as the vocalist, recorded January 15th, 1940. This is a Varsity record, number 8179. That was Eli Oberstein's label, and the group here is, appropriately enough, the Varsity 7. The thing is called Shake It and Break It.
Shake it and break it, hang it on the wall. Throw it out the window and catch it before it falls. Shimmy, she wobble, it's all night long. Honey, don't shimmy while I'm gone now. I'm going away and I won't be back until the fall. You can shake it, break it, hang it up on the wall. If it's all night long, honey, don't you shimmy while I'm gone now. I'm going away and I won't be back until the fall. You can shake it, break it, rub it all over the wall. Mm-hmm.
shake it and break it and hang it up on the wall. That's great. The Varsity 7 on a Varsity 78, number 8179. As I mentioned, that was a label run by Eli Oberstein, who is not known for having been the most scrupulous record producer back in the 1930s. And in this case, I always get a chuckle out of looking at the personnel listed on the record label. We've got Joe Sullivan at the piano, Ulysses Livingston on guitar, George Wetling drums, Danny Polo clarinet, Artie Shapiro bass, Joe Turner vocal, and then we've got Billy Carton on trumpet and Carlton Harkins on tenor sax. Now, who do you think those could be? Well, it's, of course, Benny Carter on trumpet and Coleman Hawkins on tenor sax, but I'm sure they were not supposed to be recording for this Varsity label. They were almost certainly under contract to another label at the time, so Eli Oberstein masks their identity with these rather thinly veiled pseudonyms. I think I especially like Carlton Harkins for Coleman Hawkins. Well, this past week I have been rereading Ed Berlin's excellent biography of Scott Joplin called King of Ragtime, Scott Joplin and His Era. And in the story of Scott Joplin's life, one of the central figures was his longtime publisher, John Stark. It was John Stark in 1899 who brought out the Maple Leaf Rag, and over the next 10 years he went on to publish quite a number of Joplin's compositions. Now, while John Stark himself was not especially musical, we don't know that he played any instrument extensively, his daughter Eleanor was, and Ed Berlin makes the case that Eleanor Stark was probably quite involved in running the publishing company, or that she at least had some say in selecting which pieces would be published. And Eleanor Stark had gone to Europe, and she had studied with some of the masters there, and was known to be quite the piano virtuoso, first in Sedalia, Missouri, then in St. Louis, and eventually in New York, where she married a man named James Stanley, and they performed and concertized quite a lot in the area. And when I read James Stanley's name, it sort of piqued something in the back of my mind, but I didn't yet make the connection until Ed Berlin mentioned that James Stanley had recorded in the 1920s with the orchestras of Gene Goldkett, Nat Shilkret, and others for the Victor label. And that got me thinking and looking, and sure enough, I have a handful of Victor records that bear the name James Stanley. So here's one of these sort of 2 or 3 degrees of separation from Scott Joplin, but hey, it's a start. So let's listen to 2 records featuring James Stanley. Now, curiously, although he seems to have had a very good voice, James Stanley did not make any solo recordings. All of the recordings I could find of his are in tandem with other performers, or in some cases as part of an ensemble. He sang for many years with the Peerless Quartet. So first we'll hear James Stanley and Carl Matthew duetting on a Gene Goldkett record called Lonesome and Sorry from April 23, 1926, a tune by Benny Davis and Con Conrad, Victor 20031. After that, we'll hear Nat Shilkret and the Victor Orchestra, a thing called If You Would Say I Love You, and this one features James Stanley and Henry Burr singing the vocal. The tune is by Frank Woodruff and George Hodge, Victor 20261 from October 13th, 1926. So both of these from 1926, both of them James Stanley in pair with others, and let's go ahead and listen to these. First up, here's Lonesome and Sorry. And by the way, James Stanley is the lower of the two voices in both of these instances. Okay, here we go. Thank you. And there you have two records featuring the vocalizing of James Stanley, the man who was married to the daughter of the publisher of many of Scott Joplin's rags. How's that? First, we heard Lonesome and Sorry, Gene Goldkett's orchestra from 1926. After that, it was Nat Shilkret's orchestra, If You Would Say, I Love You, also from 1926. Well, let's continue with a couple of Victor records now. Here's a pair of electrically recorded Batwing records, both from 1925. First, we'll hear Art Landry and his orchestra. It's about time we had a nice hot dance band. Here's The Camel Walk from November 14th, 1925, Victor 19858. After that, something silly from the Happiness Boys, Billy Jones and Ernest Hare, a thing called As a Porcupine Pines for Its Pork, recorded July 1st, 1925. I suppose I could have called this segment a trip to the zoo or something. I didn't even really intend it this way, but they're both songs about animals you don't normally hear songs about. Camels and porcupines. Well, be that as it may, let's have a listen.
Thank you. Say, Bill, shall we sing that crazy porcupine song?
Yes, Ernest, I just feel crazy enough to sing it.
Then we'll both be crazy. All right, Dave. Porcupines are all full of quills. Kiss them and you're sure to get thrills.
Weeping willows like to weep, just like I weep for you.
As a porcupine pines for its fork,
that's how I'll pine for you.
As a grasshopper hops on the grass,
I'll hop right after you.
As an eggplant plants its egg,
I'll plant myself near you.
Not a woodchuck, woodchuck would, as I woodchuck my love at you. Say, Bill, what's the difference between a rich man and a dog's tail?
A dog's tail keeps a wagon, and a rich man keeps an automobile.
Alligators come through the gate, but goodbye, Ling, if you get away late.
Lollies always like to pop, I'll pop the question too.
As a porcupine pines for its paw, that's how I'll pine for you.
As a woodpecker pecks at the wood, I'll always peck at you.
As a Pekingese peeks at the knees, I'll always peek at you. All the oil cans can their oil, but I can't tie the can to you. Say, Bill, we've got a new dog down at my house.
What's his name, Ernie?
Why, Ginger.
Does Ginger bite?
No, Ginger snap. As the butterfly flies at the butter, I'll fly right after you. As the mouse trap traps the mouse, that's just how I'll trap you. As the lipstick sticks to the lip, I'll always stick to you. As the earring rings the ear, I'm going to put a ring on you.
Tell me, Ernest, how do you produce sawdust?
Produce sawdust? Why, let me see.
Come, come, use your head.
Oh, Will. If we find the guys who wrote this song, they'll not be here for long.
As the sharpshooter likes to shoot, we'll shoot those crazy goofs.
Every nut factory has its nuts, and nuts from trees do fall.
But of all the nuts and crazy mutts,
they are the worst of all. Bill, what do cannibals do with the heads of their victims?
I guess they make noodle soup out of them, Ernie.
If we don't sing another chorus, we hope you'll still be for us. We bought dictionaries by the score, but we can't find no more. Just buy yourself a ukulele, and while you're strumming gaily, sing your own words to this crazy song. They're all right if they're wrong.
They're all right if they're wrong? Sounds like something my wife says to me, or some variation thereof. Well, that's the Happiness Boys, Billy Jones and Ernest Hare, Victor 19718, recorded July 1st, 1925, as a porcupine pines for its pork. And that's a thing credited to Walsh and Paganucci. No idea who they were. Before that, Art Landry and his orchestra, something hot? Yeah, the Camel Walk, recorded November 14th, 1925. And with that, we come towards the ends of today's stack of 78 RPM records here on the Shellac Stack. As always, I thank you very much for the pleasure of your company this past hour. It's been fun to listen to some of these 78 RPM records with you. I hope you found something here that you enjoyed. If you'd like to make a request, send your comments or suggestions, you can send me an email, shellacstack@gmail.com, or Google this program and then find the handy little contact form on my website to send me a message. I'd love to hear from you. We're going to finish off today with a admittedly noisy record, but a rare one. This is on the short-lived WOR Feature label that was produced right around the end of World War II, named after radio station WOR in New York City. And in this case, it's Jan Garber and his orchestra. The song, a popular one at the time, Long Ago and Far Away. WOR feature record number 1002, and this thing seems to have been pressed in some kind of three times recycled shellac, because although it's in good condition, there's just a whole lot of noise, and I apologize for that, but that's the way these records are. The tune was written by Ira Gershwin and Jerome Kern. Bob Davis will sing it from 1944, Long Ago and Far Away, and hopefully it won't be too long from now that we see you again for another Shellac Stack. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
But now the clouds have passed. You're here at last. Chills run up and down my spine. Aladdin's lamp is mine. The dream I dreamed was not denied me. Just one look and then I knew that all I longed for long ago was you. Then I knew.